Hello, respective viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. And this, I'm commenting on the Russian history textbook. So it's like a general history for classes 10 and 11 that was published earlier this month. Of course, the school term starts on the 1st of September. In some cases, even if that happens to be a Saturday or Sunday, they have to go in. And you can read bits of it online. I've read a few reviews of it. It really is horrific. It also says that a proper understanding of the past will allow them to foretell the future. So it's not just Russian particularism. You'd expect that. And I would also castigate some textbooks that publish in the United Kingdom for being extremely woke. And then people often told me, oh, in the United Kingdom, they don't teach about the evils of empire and this sort of twaddle. And obviously, I taught history in the United Kingdom for 20 years. And I can tell you they certainly did, even at the beginning, and they do so even more so now. And they're obviously right to look at the ugly chapters of one's past and to recognise that one's government or sections on society have committed appalling atrocities at home and abroad and so forth, whilst not overemphasising it, whilst not de-emphasising the virtuous chapters and perhaps ought to be values-free history. But this book is very much not values-free history. So leading Russians to believe that their country is the most magnificent and civilized country in the world. Now, it's right to sing Russia's praises. I mean, I often do, and wouldn't want to concentrate exclusively on the horrific things the Russian state has done to its own subjects. I can't shan't call them citizens and others. Anyway, so this is aimed at those of the last 2 years of their schooling. And it's a universal textbook, which is to say that all schools in Russia must choose it. Previously, there was a choice and they would select their preferred one each school, but no longer. So they're imposing uniformity. So the Putin's fascist regime is obviously fixated with brainwashing impressionable young minds. It's like George Orwell wrote, he who controls the past, controls the present, controls the future, and he controls the past, controls the whatever, the future. I mangled it a bit, really. But if you can have them accept your worldview about the past, then you've got a very good chance to get them to do what you want in the future. And that every conflict is a replay of the Second World War over again. Russia was aggressed, Russia is righteous, and Russia shall be victorious. You see some of that sort of nonsense playing out in Western countries, such as the United Kingdom, about every foreign conflict. It's obviously not quite as bad. This is covering Russian history really after the Second World War and saying that Russia was mighty. Well, that is definitely true. I mean, not every word of this is bunkum, and that it was assisting people in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet republics. And again, not all of that is false, saying that they were always under attack from the Occident and Uncle Tom's and the Soviet Union. Now, it is true that very soon after the Second World War, Western countries recognized that the Soviet Union was inveterately hostile, wanted to take over the entire world, affect the imposition of a Marxist-Leninist ideology in the entire globe. And that is true. I mean, the communist regime was very open that that's what they intended to do. It was George F. Kennan's long telegram in 1946 saying, we've got to recognize that despite their kindly words, and they say talk about peaceful coexistence, really, they are totally hostile. And they want to take us over. They mean us harm. They would impose their vicious totalitarian system. Here, they are extremely oppressive at home, and they would be so abroad. Some of the Polish independence fighters who gallantly fought against the Third Reich were attacked by the Red Army before even the end of the war. Some of them who were captured were tortured, were into falsely confessing they'd been collaborators with the Nazis. Some were executed, others sent to Siberia. It was just staggeringly unjust. And so on. So at least a million German civilians, at least a million, were killed after the Second World War ended. Not all of them by the Red Army. And I'm not saying that Western armies were entirely innocent. Some of them would have committed war crimes as well. Now, admittedly, the Red Army did this partly because their people had suffered so horrendously, because at least several million of their civilians have been killed. Not in the crossfire, often deliberately taken out, shot dead, known that they're civilians. In many cases, Jews, other cases, not. There have been obviously large scale other crimes in the Soviet Union committed by the Wehrmacht, the SS, and so on. But anyway, so anybody who wants freedom in Russia must be a Western collaborator, is the idea. So it obviously looks a great deal at Ukraine and talks about Bandaristvi. Bandaristvi are followers of Stepan Bandera, who was a Ukrainian independence leader in the Second World War. And he threw in his lot with the Third Reich, realizing that there are not that many Ukrainians are willing to fight for Ukrainian independence, and they only had a chance if they made common cause with the Third Reich, because they had a common enemy, the shape of the Soviet Union. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so they did. He later escaped to Germany in the Second World War, was assassinated in Munich in 1958, and his assassin was given a camera as a reward. That assassin later defected to the West, which is why we know the whole story. So any Ukrainian who doesn't want to be invaded, who doesn't want to be oppressed by Putin, must be a banderista. So it's going back to the old communist worldview that you're either a communist or a Nazi, and there is no other position. A liberal or a conservative or something is just a Nazi in disguise. So obviously it's complete bunkum. This does not delegitimize Ukrainian independence. It's a bit like saying Subhas Chandra Bose, the Indian independence fighter, he collaborated with the Third Reich, therefore India has no right to independence. I mean, it's completely preposterous. Overlooking the fact that the Soviet Union was a co-belligerent of the Third Reich, was an ally of the Third Reich against Poland in 1939, so actively assisted them in all sorts of ways right up until June 1941. So then we go on. Then, it says that Ukrainians are responsible for high crime rates and things like that. It talks about the deportation of millions of ethnic minority people to Siberia and Kazakhstan in the Second World War. Obviously, huge numbers of them died on the way, so they're trying to make it as humane as possible. But to be fair to the Soviet Union, it was very difficult to do that humanely in the circumstances, because they did every train they could get. There were severe shortages of food, clothing, everything else. But the idea that they strove to make it humane, I think, is for the birds. So it was ghastly. Many people these died on cattle truck on the way. And it's one of those great untold stories which are hardly recognized in the West or anywhere else, and often made to stay there for decades after the war. Now, you may say, what about the Japanese Americans? Well, that's true, but I don't think a single one of them died in transit. As soon as the war was over, they were released, and they were apologized to and compensated under Ronald Reagan, but that never happened for this lot. Anyway, there's almost nothing about Stalinist repressions. I mean, repressions is too mild. Murders, judicial murder. At least hundreds of thousands of people executed under Stalin, and military collegiums meeting in the 1950s after Stalin died, often composed of the same individuals who sentenced someone to death in the 1930s, and in many cases exonerating the person who had been executed. So according to the Soviets' own law, many of these people were executed having had totally unfair trials, often just before secret police officers, no judge, no defense counsel, no evidence allowed to be presented in the defense. Some of the defendant often not permitted to speak at his own trial, sometimes not even to be present. And people were executed often hours within hours of the sentence, and so on. Relatives sent to slave labor camps for what someone had done. Even this relative himself or herself had not done anything wrong, not alleged to have done anything wrong. Anyway, it says that the Red Army's occupation of all these Eastern European countries after the Second World War was to uphold these people's democracies against American imperialism. Okay, initially it was to drive out the Wehrmacht, that is true. And all of these countries are tiny communist parties. I mean, the Romanian Communist Party is absolutely minuscule till 1944, and people joined it largely out of sheer opportunism. So that they would not have chosen communism if they had a free choice. Likewise, in Czechoslovakia or Hungary, non-communists won these elections, but nevertheless, the Red Army imposed a communist regime and sent people to slave labor camps who would object. And I think we should use that word more about the Soviet Union, slavery, which is what they forced people into. Having said that, all right, if you survived 10 years or something in a slave labor camp, and some people did, you would be freed. Okay, but a lot of people didn't survive. So it goes on. And this book, it lays into Glasnost, which is the 1980s liberalization under Mikhail Gorbachev, who was a Soviet leader at the time, allowing some freedom of speech, some sort of economic reform, and said that this was terrible, and it allowed Western propaganda into the country and actually paved the way for the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Well, that bit is true. It did allow Western publicity, all right, to some extent propaganda, but, you know, in a free society, that's what you have. So this book is always advocating for unfreedom, and it did lead to the downfall of the Soviet Union, but that was avoidable. But the avoidance of it could have been affected by more by cleverer reforms. Anyway, and it suggests that any dissident, anyone in the Soviet Union, was really a fascist or just some sort of paid agent of the CIA. So the person behind this is Vladimir Medinsky, and I've seen some of his programs years ago. So he's a public relations spiv, and he was involved in this notorious MMM Ponzi fraud way back in the 90s. A lot of people lost their life savings. Anyway, he was Minister for Culture for a while, and he's all about patriotism, what really is jingoism. So it doesn't recognize that dissent is patriotic. And he's President Putin's right-hand man on history and things like that. And some people think that he wrote that notorious 2021 essay on the historical unity of the Russian and Ukrainian peoples, which appeared under Putin's name. There was this book, Myths About Russia, which he presented the television series that went with it, and said that the notion that Russians are alcoholics, that is a racist lie put about by the West. Now, I have found one of the biggest myths about Russia, that alcoholism, I think, is not that widespread. Obviously, alcohol exists, and a few people are dipsomaniacs. I don't have any data, but, you know, anecdotally, doesn't seem to be more widespread than in most Western countries. He thinks that the West has been waging psychological warfare against Russia for decades. They often don't distinguish between the Russian and the Soviet people. Then they do. Any Soviet person who says, well, really, I'm a Lithuanian, a Ukrainian, a Kazakh, is a fascist, according to him. But of course, Russia's aggressive nationalism isn't fascistic at all. And it goes on, my goodness. And suggests that, you know, people who were forced into slavery by the Nazis and then sent to the Gulag because of that, well, they deserved it. And it's just sickening the way it tries to justify this gross injustice. Obviously, Russia does have a lot to be proud of. The valor of the people and their economic achievements, their cultural achievements in terms of opera, music, architecture, and so forth, even cuisine. But their government has mostly been horrendous. I mean, it's just often a cacocracy, one of the cruelest in the world. So it very much de-emphasizes state crimes when it mentions them at all. The massive scale state terror, which characterized the first half of Soviet history, certainly. And then it laments the fact that Red Army monuments throughout Eastern Europe have been removed, not asking why these countries might say, well, actually, the Soviet era wasn't so wonderful for us. And think about all the massacres perpetrated by the Red Army in our country. So they're always drawing parallels between the present and the past and saying, you should defend this glorious legacy. So it really is nauseating. So the first universal textbook since 1991. That is it. So the Kremlin has been moving this direction for 20 years, certainly. And it has had people prosecuted for telling the plain truth about history. In 2009, a presidential commission on historical falsification was impaneled. It's quite the opposite. It's a presidential commission for historical falsification. They are falsifiers of the past. And when human rights groups have exposed atrocities committed in the Stalinist era, they've been prosecuted for that. When they put out these corpses of victims of Stalin, they'll say, no, they're victims of the Third Reich. And so on. So they found the truth completely intolerable. And they've exploited the Second World War, the Great Patriotic War, as they call it, to try and prop up Putin's creaking regime. So they stage 1.5 million military patriotic events. They have little children dress up in Second World War era uniforms. So this exploitation of children for this really is deeply distasteful. They also have a book for children in primary school, years 5 and 6, and suggest that whereas Russian imperialism was laudatory, morally upstanding, British imperialism was evil. So my goodness, it's very worrying. And so more and more censorship will be coming in. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to believe it. You would, wouldn't you, if you're fed this daily diet, this sort of thing. Anyway, thank you very much for watching my channel. And please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.